ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Samson breaks all the Nazarite vows, not here, but towards the end when his hair is cut off, the last one. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair. And he's captured by the Philistines, and they blind him. They bind him, and then he's grinding at the millstone. And that's what sin does. It eventually affected his life in a big way. Don't justify your sin. You may get away with it for a time, but there'll come a day where God's hand of protection will be removed, and you'll be taken captive like Samson. Repent, get right, and walk accordingly. Listen to, you know, your brothers and sisters. And I'm not saying... make sure what your brothers and sisters are telling you are according to the Word of God. That's always the key. Because there's some people who have all kinds of really strange ideas. What does God's Word say? That's our bottom line. So Samson has two strikes against him. And in our study this morning, we'll see the third one. Look at verse 10 here in Judges 14. So his father went down to the woman, and Samson gave a feast there for young men used to do so. And it was so when they saw him that they brought 30 companions to be with him. I've called this section Wine, Women, and Song, and you'll see why as we go through them. But this is a seven-day marriage feast that's going on, this party for 7 days. The marriage itself wasn't consummated yet. That's not done until the end of the 7 days. But it's literally a drinking party for 7 days, and Samson should not have been involved in that. He wasn't to drink wine. Now, does it say he did? No, it doesn't say that, but I just think with the whole situation, I'm sure he had a glass of wine. And strike three. And it's interesting, he had no friends in Timnah, and they provided him 30 Philistine young men for what we might call a bachelor party. And they're really not his friends. And here's the thing. Why didn't any of his friends from Israel come? Did you ever wonder that? Why did they have to get 30 Philistine friends? Why didn't they just say, hey, why don't you bring some of your buddies from Israel, bring them up, you're getting married. I don't think he had any. I think that was the problem for Samson. He was a loner. He was the Lone Ranger. He didn't even have Tanoff. And it was a problem for him. And now they provide 30 Philistine young men for this bachelor party. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10:12 said, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Be careful. The Living Bible puts that verse like this. So be careful. If you are thinking, oh, I would never behave like that, let this be a warning to you, for you too may fall into sin. That's why I think it's really important that we are in the Word of God and letting the Word of God by the Spirit of God speak to our hearts and help us to walk accordingly. You know, complacency, thinking too highly of ourselves, thinking we know better than everyone else is really a slippery slope away from God. Where are we walking? What direction are we heading? Are we keeping our eyes focused on the Lord and what He wants, or are we looking downward into this world and following what it has to say? Let me share this with you, and you'll see what I mean. People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to the Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift towards disobedience and call it freedom. We drift towards superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline or rowdiness of self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness, and convince ourselves we have been liberated. I think that's true. You know, Samson lacked the power to do the things that God wanted him to do. Yeah, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, but Samson didn't walk in holiness. He didn't do those things that God had called him to do. He did the exact opposite. He went into the vineyard and partook of the grapes, strike one. He touched a dead body, strike two. And now he's drinking wine, strike three. And he didn't see any wrong in what he was doing. He justified his sin, like I said. He's partying with the enemy, and I guess wine, women, and song. And we can do that in our own lives. We can justify sin so much that we don't see it as being wrong any longer. We've grown accustomed to it. It's a dangerous place to be. I mean, remember, Samson, they're going to put out his eyes. He's going to be blind. And he was blind to sin, and his physical eyes were blind as well. And I think for Samson, this is just pride on his part. And we're going to look at that in our next study with Samson about this whole issue of pride. It's a dangerous one. But when you move away from the Lord, when you do your own thing, that's prideful. It's not that it might be prideful. You're not listening to the Lord. You're listening to what you want to do. That's just pride. You know better than God. And I can tell you, you don't. I've been there. I thought I knew better. We never do. God knows everything. I think what God wants us to look at is, what does he want? What does he desire of us? And Paul, in I think Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, gives us what God desires. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I like the Amplified Bible here. It just expounds on it a little bit more. Paul put it like this, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. Paul is making this appeal to us as Christians, and he lays it out. He says that he beseeches us, or that he wants us to do what's right. He's appealing to us, begging us to do what's right, because we have choices to make in this life. And starting out with therefore really introduces us to this idea of dedication or devotion to God. You see, when you look at all that God has done for us, and that's what Paul has been talking about, the first 11 chapters really of Romans, therefore we should dedicate our lives, devote our lives to him. It's no longer about us and what we want and what we want to do. It's all about the Lord and what he wants us to do. That's something that the Lord has been showing me recently, is that a bond slave doesn't have any rights. We have absolutely none. We're bond servants of Jesus Christ. We have the freedom to choose God or reject him. But we say, Lord, I want to follow you all the days of my life. Okay. You're mine. You're my bond slave. And I will show you what you need to do and what I don't want you to do. And we need to follow him. Well, what do you mean I don't have any freedom? Oh, I have all the freedom in Christ, but there's the key. It's in him. If you really think our government, our nation, is going to just praise you for being godly men and women, you're wrong. We're far beyond that today. You serve the Lord in spite of what the world may say to you. And that's a different one. Paul's whole point, and Morris points it out, he says when he uses this pattern, Paul is saying that the Christian life is dependent on the great Christian doctrines. There it is. We live what God has said in his word. We don't live separate from the word of God, but according to it. Our lives are a living sacrifice. They should be different now that we've come to Christ. And it should make sense. We're to be a living sacrifice unto God. You know, the animal sacrifices in the temple and in the tabernacle, they were dead, right? So they couldn't get off the altar of sacrifice. We're a living sacrifice. We jump off the altar when things get tough, when the heat's turned up, when it's scary. And that's Paul's saying, no, you're a living sacrifice, totally dedicated unto God. Placed on that altar for him. And it's a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God. Do you ever think about your life as a sweet-smelling sacrifice to God? It is. Do you realize when you got saved, the angels in heaven were rejoicing? I don't know if they do the wave in heaven or whatever, but they're rejoicing when you got saved. I know my family, not my wife, but my family did not rejoice when I got saved. And they were pretty upset about it. They still are. But the angels were rejoicing. My wife definitely was rejoicing. Our life given as a sacrifice unto God is our reasonable service, or really, literally, our spiritual worship. The word reasonable comes from a Greek word that can also be translated of the word. And service speaks of our worship to God. So listen to what is our reasonable, logical service unto God. This is so important. It is a life of worship that is according to God's word. It's that simple. It is a life of worship that is according to God's word. There it is. There's our reasonable service, our worship unto God. Just follow his word. And you have to have the right doctrine, because if you don't, you're not going to be able to live a life that is pleasing to God. I don't care what people tell you. Paul makes this point very clear. If your doctrine is off, then your worship of God is going to be off as well. You can't worship him any way you want. In fact, Jesus said that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. We don't get to worship God any way we want. You know, the children of Israel did that. Read in the Old Testament, the high places, these pagan worship sites. Were they worshiping the true and living God at these sites? Sure. Did God accept it? No. Not at all. We have to worship him in spirit. We have to be saved and in truth according to the word of God. Now, you can travel on two paths here. You can be conformed to this world or this age we're living in, or you can be transformed by God. But make no mistake about it, the world's ways, the world's system wants to squeeze you into its image, and it's the path of least resistance. The world has come into the church today. How do I know? I've seen it. Hopefully you've seen it come in. I think I shared with you on, maybe it was Thursday, this one church, the worship team, this isn't going to happen, Art, had a roller coaster set up. And as they're doing worship, I don't know how you play a guitar on a roller coaster, but as they're doing worship, they're going around the roller coaster on the stage. Is that worshiping in spirit and truth? Absolutely not. Why are we doing that? To entertain the people. I don't mean to upset anyone here, but worship is not about you. It's never been about you. We are not worshiping you. We are here to worship God. And as we worship God, as we come in touch with God, as we worship him, then we can hear from him as the word of God is being taught. We have no light show unless one of these lights burn out and then it'll flash. We have no smoke machine. Why? We don't even have guitar solos. Well, you know, Art's doing the thing on the stage. We don't do that. Mickey's not throwing his sticks up in the air. Why? Because our focus needs to be on God. People say, well, you've got a simplistic worship team. We have an awesome worship team. And my focus now is just upon God and not them. They don't want the attention, which is really hard for musicians. Because musicians, that's the whole thing. They're entertainers, right? But here we have a worship team that leads us in the worship of God. And our hearts and minds, with the songs we sing, are focused upon him. The world wants to change all that. I just read an article about a pastor that had a sex change operation. And I'm thinking, well, there's a lot of things wrong with that right away. But we let them into the church, okay? We have colleges, Christian seminaries that are teaching you can't trust the Bible. Jesus isn't God. He was not born of the Virgin Mary. All these different things. He didn't atone for your sins. That blood atonement thing is a horrible, barbaric thing. So you've got these men that are learning this stuff, coming into the pulpit, teaching their people false doctrine. The world is coming to the church. But what about in our own lives? Are we allowing the world into our lives so much that people don't see Jesus anymore? You know, John said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. You know, it's so interesting. The God of this world attacks people through the flesh, through the eyes, and through pride. And it's not going to last, this kind of living. It's passing away. And yet this is what people are gravitating to. They're grabbing for it with all their might. And what the world wants to do now is to have us conform to their image, to be like them, to speak like them. I'm telling you, 1984 by George Orwell is coming to pass before our very eyes. I know someone who got in trouble at work because someone came up to them and said that this police officer in Kenosha should be hung, he should be put to death for what he did. And this person said, well, you know, that's why we have the court system. It has to go to court, and you know, if he's guilty, then you know, he's got to serve his time. If he's not guilty, then he's going to be let go. This person reported him as a racist and made this person feel very uncomfortable. Boss called this person in and said, you will never speak about Black Lives Matter or Antifa at work again. You're on probation. So this person said, well, how long? Forever. You can never, ever talk about it. He goes to work and that's all they talk about, right? What did he say that was wrong? Here's what he said that was wrong. He didn't conform to the political speak that's out there. He didn't conform to the way the world wants us to view things. That's how it's getting, guys. Are we willing to take a stand and honor God no matter what? We're going to have to. Much of our nation does not have a biblical world view anymore. It did at one time. A lot of people did. Even if they didn't believe in God, they still believed in doing what's right. We don't see that today. And the enemies of man, obviously Satan, who's the prince of this world that's in rebellion against God, and he uses us as pawns to be drawn into the lusts of the world and doing the things that is opposed to God through fleshly lust. He just dangles the stuff in front of our eyes as some kind of prize to obtain. But as Samson's going to find out, it's not a prize at all. He could have followed God and allowed the lust of his flesh and not followed the lust of his flesh. But he did. He went after this woman. Lust of the eyes. She was beautiful. The pride of life. I want her. There it is. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes. Pride of life. Hook, line, and sinker. And it brought death and destruction to him. Being conformed to this world is just becoming like this world. There's no difference. And you look at some Christians and there is no, you see no difference between them and the world. The things they say, the things they do. It's like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. And it's like John said in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Don't you see that? I mean, I think this is Genesis 6 all over again. The thoughts and the intents of man's heart has become evil continually. And not only that, they want you to conform to it because the light exposes the darkness and they don't like that. For us as Christians, do not be conformed to this world. How do you become conformed to this world? Don't do anything. Just lay there. The world will do the rest. It'll conform you. but be transformed. You see, it all begins with the renewing of the mind. That's the important thing. What are you filling your mind with? The things of God or the things of this world? You know, that word transformed is metamorphosis. Is basically what it means. And as we spend time with God, as we spend time in His presence, as we surrender our lives to Him, we are being transformed into the image of God. A metamorphosis is taking place. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorphosis, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wow, that begins the moment we're saved, and it continues on through the rest of our lives until we go home to be with the Lord. I like that. I like what God is continually working in our lives. But it's not just, it's not outward changes. You know, we like to make ourselves look good, but that doesn't change us. It's got to happen on the inside. When God gets a hold of the heart and starts changing you from the inside, what happens outwardly will last. The other is a facade. It's not real. So you fill yourself up with the things of God. Don't fill it up with garbage. You know, David said, how can a young man cleanse his way in Psalm 119? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Fill yourself up with the things of God. So when you start moving maybe in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance what you have read. Stay on track. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. There it is. You want to grow? You want to be transformed? Renew your mind. Not just information, but application. And Samson had all he needed to live a godly life, just like we do. But he gave into the flesh, he justified his sin, he went after wine, woman, and song, and it left him completely powerless. And I'll close with this. Are we a conformer or a transformer? Well, what do I mean by that? Well, are you a thermometer adjusting to the temperature of the culture? Or are you a thermostat changing the climate of the culture? If you're a conformer or a thermometer, you're in for perpetual frustration because by the time you take the temperature and figure out what's hot, by the time you change your look or buy the car or redo your house, the world would have moved, leaving you out of style. And isn't that true? I mean, the church is always a few years behind the world. This is a mystery for a lot of Christians. They try to make their ministries relatable by analyzing what the world is doing in order to emulate it. Some of you have been with us for the 25 years I've been up here. Have I changed it all? Well, yeah, I'm grayer and older, but have I changed what I have done in 25 years? No. I have taught the Word of God from Genesis through Revelation. That's it. I haven't changed. And I'm not gonna. I mean, this is what the Lord has put upon my heart. I am not here to entertain you, make you laugh, and whatever. I'm here to give you the Word of God, to build you up in the faith so you can go out and do the work of the ministry, so you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes blowing through the church. That's it. Don't be a thermometer. Be a thermostat. Don't be a conformer. Be a transformer. Let's transform our families. Transform our workplaces. Transform our city, our state, our nation. Can it be done? Yeah, by the power of God's Spirit, He could do anything. There needs to be a separation for us from this world and its influences upon our lives. We're empowered by the Spirit of God. We have the Word of God. Now we have to take what the Spirit is showing us according to the Word of God, what He's telling us, and we need to walk accordingly. Yeah. Separate from the world. Don't be conformed to it. Be transformed by God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word this morning. Just some powerful lessons in the life of Samson. And yes, Lord, you know, we know at the end of his life he is restored. But Lord, his life until that point is just on a downward spiral because he didn't obey you. Lord, help us to learn that and grow in our walk with you. We want to be transformed and not conformed. We don't want to be a thermometer. We want to be a thermostat that turns up the heat and gets people excited about Jesus. That we have that joy of the Lord in our hearts and our minds. And people see that in the midst of all the chaos that's going on. And we love you so much. And this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. Mm-hmm. We're passing through. And Lord, we want to bless you, honor you, and see many come into the kingdom. Help us to shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.